Wild Talk Radio Network.
But tonight, a challenge to celebrate the fallen suns on the Day of the Dead.
A challenge to any souls brave enough to come face to face with my monsters.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3. It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
This is Pat Patterson.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Face the fear? Forget that. I am the man without fear. I slay the dragons. I exorcise the demons. I smash the zombies. I destroy all the monsters.
That's what I do around here.
With your host,
Halloween is no fun if you don't like to scare people. But I'm not one for giving up. Tonight, somebody is getting scared.
Oh. Lindsay Ward.
These are not costumes. Evil is very real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
I was never allowed to dress up for Halloween. I was told it was too sinful.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All you have to do is boo, leave.
We're here.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
I remember doing the Time War.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Halloween Hangover edition of The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. And if you're listening to us over at gearwork.net, fightboot.com, or not fightboot.com, gearwork.net, rackradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, or on Twitch. Thank you so much for tuning in. Speaking of fightboot.com, go check them out. They're awesome. We love them. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash Any man Sir Rockin. I think the show's haunted. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great start, everybody.
This is why it's called the Halloween Hangover Edition, everybody. Our internet hasn't recovered from Halloween. It had more fun than we did, apparently. Anyway, awkward, very, very awkward. Moving on from that, we have a lot to talk about tonight. We will be discussing the all-women's pay-per-view Evolution. We'll be recapping that, letting you know how that went. And, well, we are talking about the much-lauded Crown Jewel. I hate to put them on the same show, but they came back-to-back, so I don't really have a choice in the matter. Yeah, so that's going to happen. Waiting for him to kick in.
Yeah, it's all going to happen.
Are you back?
I've been getting everything back up and moving. Hi, if you're joining, listen to the podcast. This is going to sound so much better. Oh, good lord. As if it isn't a show.
Live radio, y'all.
Live radio. Everything was running perfectly for the last hour. Then we hit the go button.
I don't know whose internet took the dive, but somebody's internet took the dive.
Well, mine took a 10-second dive. Yours is wonky at best. So, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through it all here tonight on the rack. As you mentioned, we have Evolution, we have Crown Jewel, and other things to get into this evening. This is where you go
this
to.
This is where we pull up the sheet.
This is where she pulls up the sheet to see what we're getting into. He'll just hit the button.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping,
It's this week's Injury Roundup.
I was told there was no news.
No, you were told there was one thing. So name the blame Brents.
It's still opening. Hold on.
Tyler Bay with an undisclosed injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
As well as Shayna Baszler with a leg injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
I just want to point out, if this is your first time listening to the show, I promise it is not normally this disorganized and this crappy. We're usually a lot better with it. It's just one of those nights.
Where we were good, and then we hit live, and then everything went to all hell. So, hi, how are you?
Everything went to hell.
So that was presented by Gerwick.net and FightBooth.com. As well, which we'll get into later, one big story coming out for Crown Jewel, and it's not the brother. It is Renee Young will be hosting, will be one of the color commentators for Crown Jewel. She is over there going to do the show.
This is pretty epic. I don't think people quite understand what it means for WWE to be able to take a woman over, let alone half country, because the labor laws, they're extremely strict for women. So that is a huge step forward. It's probably one of the only positive things right now surrounding Crown Jewel is the fact that they are allowing Renee Young to come over and commentate the show. But that's pretty much like it, which we'll get into Crown Jewel a little bit later in the show. But I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's different people. It's a lot of, you know, feelings about the show. So having her on it should help sway some of those feelings, as it were.
Yeah. So anyway, let's talk about the positive. Let's save the negative for later. Let's talk about the positive, and that is WWE Evolution, which was the historic all-female pay-per-view for WWE. Y'all, the female energy on Sunday was so powerful, it broke my bra. Not even kidding. That happened. On Sunday of Evolution. It was just like, no, snap. And it was really frustrating because I had to go get a new one. But that's how powerful and awesome this show was. Because I thought it was amazing.
It was. It was a very fun show. So, if you listened to the show last week, I asked one little question and sort of got the answer as the show went on. And that was, what type of show would it be? Would it be a WWE show? Would it be an NXT show? And from what you saw, it felt like an NXT show, but it had some WWE-esque, main roster-esque stuff on it as well. It was as close as a hybrid show as you're probably going to get. Vince was there. There's been some reports that he was running Gorilla. He was in Gorilla, but I don't think he was running the show because he got there right before the show. I think Hunter was running the show, and the NXT production people were running the show. Kevin Dunn was not running the show in the truck. He was in Charlotte, North Carolina for Monday Night Raw. So it was a hybrid show, and for 3.5 hours, very damn enjoyable.
Really damn enjoyable. I heard some complaints about the set for this, that they didn't get the big grandiose set, or they didn't get really a lot. They basically got an upgraded house show set, and, you know, honestly, I'm okay with that. And here's the reason why. I would rather the show be really good and have a simple set than have this huge, big, fancy thing and it suck. So the set, the way that they lit it, everything, it was super simple, super easy. They had the house lights down during the matches, so it was spotlight of the ring. I liked the way they did all of this. You could almost tell Hunter had his hands on this just from the way that it looked and the way it was produced. Like, you could just tell. I think it's actually whoever did the UK shows did the women's show in terms of the lighting and the production and everything. So whoever that is, it's that same
It's the NXT crew.
Yeah, you can tell the difference between the two. And, I mean, overall, they should be congratulated.
Yeah, for the set, again, it goes back to, this was a late add to the schedule, which means Raw was in Charlotte, North Carolina. They were in Long Island, New York for this show. You cannot get the Monday Night Raw set from Long Island, New York to Charlotte, North Carolina in time for Monday Night Raw, which is why they used the smaller set for this show. And I love that people would complain about a smaller set, right? When everyone's complaining, normally, why don't pay-per-views have their own distinctive set anymore? And then they get it, and they complain.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I was fine with it. they brought some additional screens and some other stuff over from the warehouse. You could tell to dress it up to try to do what they could for it. But ultimately, because the Raw set was somewhere else and the SmackDown set was somewhere else, they couldn't use it. So they made do with what they had. Now, we need to talk about the card and how absolutely superior it was. New Jersey Devil fans, we're going to get to that because I do want to talk about that, but we're going to get there. So we need to start.
Open up with a musical performance.
Lizzie Hale. Lizzie freaking Hale. Thank you. I didn't know the other chick, but I knew Lizzie Hale.
Nita Strauss.
Hale.
She's the one who did all the Shinsuke stuff, I think.
She's amazing. They're all amazing. Mm-hmm.
So they were the musical performance.
This was pretty badass.
Yeah. All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to restart this phone call because right now it's a little delayed. So we're going to get into that, bring her back on the call. Maybe that will clear up things because when the internet dropped, I think it all sort of gave a little bit of a distinctive droppage on the call. Let's see if we're back in business now.
Are we back?
Yeah, we're good. I think we're good with now. You're not breaking up every few seconds, so you're good. All right, so musical performance was awesome.
Agreed. So let's start with a call with the card. And again, if this is your first time listening to the show, it's normally not this crazy. There's internet issues. There's everything going on with the show tonight. So live radio, y'all. Live radio. Yay. So we are talking WWE Evolution in the first match on the show, which was not aired. It was a dark match, which was believed it was filmed for NXT UK, was Rhea Ripley taking on Kiwi Wifey Dakota Kai for the NXT UK Championship.
Yeah. So
Women's UK Championship.
So we'll see that maybe on the DVD, probably. But the opening contest of the show was Lita and Trish Stratus versus Alicia Fox and Mickie James, along with Alexa Bliss.
Oh my God, Alexa. What the hell? For those of you that don't know, they showed Alexa and company showed up as characters from Alice in Wonderland, and Alexa was running around as Alice, because my ovaries so needed that. But there we go. So yeah, so they came out looking all cute. Trish and Lita showed up looking all cute. They figured out a way to work the Lita thong into the outfit and make it PG.
The built-in Lita thong.
The built-in Lita thong. Got respect. Gotta love it. This was a really, really fun match. This was really good. Lita and Trish looked fantastic, which Trish should because she just wrestled that not that long ago. Lita, not so much. Lita's been more limited, but she looked like her old self. You can tell she's been training.
They both have. They both last appeared at the Rumble. They've been training for this battle, and they both got in great shape, and the fans love them. Fans remembered all the Mickey Trish stuff.
Yeah, yeah. When that moment happened, when Trish and Mickey got in the ring together, it's like, oh God, please keep this PG. Mickey, please, please don't do anything crazy.
Don't mention the V.
Don't mention the V. Don't go for the V. Don't do anything. No licking, please. Everybody keep your tongue in your head. Let's just do this, okay? Everybody just behave.
There was one bad spot in this match. And that was Alicia Fox. Trish hit Stratisfaction on Mickey. And Alicia Fox was about 4 seconds late to breaking up it. So it was 1, 2, 2, 2. She breaks it up. Oh, Alicia. You and your timing. You and your damn timing is awful.
Yeah, that was awkward, but the rest of this was good.
Really good, really hot. Trish and Lita get the win.
Yay! Everybody's happy.
Everyone's happy.
And yeah, you're gonna hear.
Go ahead.
No one's happy.
I said everyone's happy.
Oh, it sounded like no one's happy. It's like, why would no one be happy? This was tremendous. How dare you? Anyway, moving on from that, we had the 20 women battle royal for the women's championship match, or an opportunity at the women's championship, I assume, of their choosing, and.
The participants' pins were Naomi, Michelle McCool, Sonya Deville, Lunder Blaze, Carmella, Zelina Vega, Kelly, Tamina, Ember Moon, Lana, Maria Kanellis, Mandy Rose, Molly Holly, Dana Brooke, Nia Jax, Ivory, Asuka, Tori Wilson, and the Iconics, Peyton Royce and Billie Kay. It was a nice touch having the legends throw the Iconics out there, out of the ring.
That was nice. And then you had the new generation surround the Attitude Era, which was nice. And then they fought.
Yeah. And it was a very entertaining battle royal.
It was super entertaining. It came down to the wire. They had a really nice spot at the end where Zelina Vega did the sneak in spot, and she threw Ember and Naya over the ring, and the top rope, and she thought that she'd won, and she was celebrating, and Naya gets back in the ring and kind of looks at Zelina, and Zelina looks at her and is like, oh crap, I have grossly miscalculated this. And then Naya picks her up over her head and chucks and basically lawn darts Zelina. That's the best way I can describe that.
Which did not look good at all.
No, it looked like she need
her Tamina in the face.
That's right. It looked like she need Tamina in the face.
It did.
So hopefully Tamina's okay.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that was cool, Mandy and Sonya, they worked well together until Mandy got rid of Sonya. So I was like, oh no.
Yeah, that's gonna make things awkward in the car. Oops.
And then you had Carmella.
Bless Carmella and her dance break in the middle of the goddamn battle royal. And who joins her but none other than Ivory. And those two have a little dance off in the middle of the ring. In the middle of the fight. Bless.
Did you say dance break?
No.
You sure?
No, I did not. No. No dance break.
I think she said show. I think she said dance break.
No.
I think she
no.
said I think she
no.
said
no.
Chat. Did she say it?
No.
Did she say dance break?
Moving on. So it came down to Ember Moon and Nia Jax in the finals of the Rumble match. I don't even know what to call it because it doesn't have a name. So we're just going to call it the Rumble match. And it was the story for the two best friends. But ultimately, Nia Jax prevails, tossing Ember Moon out of the ring to win the 20 women battle royal.
Did you see the chat?
No. You're all banned. All of you. Brank, get to your fucking corner and stay there.
Yeah, I give the people what they want.
Let's go. We them rebels everybody wanna talk about. We stay up all night and cause a riot, scream and shout. Get on the flow, if you're really about it. Don't take it slow, everybody shout it.
You realize the only reason I didn't hang up was because the computer's on the opposite end for me and I can't reach it. It's the only reason that didn't happen. So moving on from that.
So one quick thing. Nia Jax is now the number one contender. She will eventually face the winner of the upcoming women's championship match that we're going to talk about, which was, you know, Ronda Rousey, later at some point, probably at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. Next match.
Up next, in a five-star classic that I wish we'd had more of.
Five more minutes of.
This needed to be longer. This needed to be five more minutes longer just because this was so pretty to watch. Toni Storm takes on Io Shirai in the finals of the Mae Young Classic. Holy sweet baby Jesus, I think I was pregnant after this. It was that good, y'all. They put on a just classic. Everybody should go watch.
Io's quickness to do a moonsault is tremendous. Her quickness to get to the top rope, do the moonsault, was awesome. Yeah, Toni Storm is only 23 years old. Only 23. Getting better by the day. There was a great German suplex by Toni Storm. One of them that was on the hardest part of the ring, in case you were wondering. She's 22. Alright, she's going to be 23. And they just had a great match. Near falls at the end. Both women were really into it. Tore the house down. It was a very fast 10 and a half minutes that could have used 15.
Yeah, this just needed like five more minutes just because the ending felt a little rushed. But yeah, I mean, even from this year to last year, you see the improvement in Toni Storm. You see how much better she's gotten since the last Mae Young Classic. And yeah, she's something. They have something there with her. I mean, and they even recognized it on the pay-per-view that they acknowledged that she is a future star, because she is. She has everything you need to be a star in pro wrestling. Everything. The only thing they forgot to mention was that she's utterly adorkably awkward. Just absolutely awkward. It's adorable as hell. They didn't mention that, but yeah, it's Tony's got everything she needs. Io has everything she needs to be a star in WWE. This was so pretty. So pretty.
It was great to see some of the young classic competitors in the crowd, including Tegan Knox, who could have possibly been in the finals if it wasn't for, you know, Brent.
Right. Way to hurt your girl, Brent. Way to hurt your girl.
But just
saying. Rhea Ripley was there. She looked utterly unimpressed.
Okay.
I feel like Rhea is somehow morphing into Pete Dunne. I don't know how this is happening, but I feel like that's a thing. Like, Rhea Ripley and Pete Dunne are just becoming one. Are we sure they're not the same person?
They might be.
We've never actually seen them in the same place, right?
We haven't. Here, sidetrack, really quick. So, this is the Halloween hangover. Yesterday was Halloween. Rhea Ripley had an awesome costume. She was Tegan Knox.
With a knee brace and a crutch. Like you do.
Like you do. But really good match. Toni Storm got the win. And then you had Hunter and Steph and Sarah D'Amato come out and hand out flowers. It was awesome. Very awesome.
Yeah, Toni cried. She hugged everybody. I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the red lipstick and Steph's white shirt. And I'm like, oh God, please don't get the lipstick all over his shirt. It was very emotional. Everybody, it was a wonderful capstone to a great tourney. And again, I feel like they did May proud this year.
Yeah, one thing was weird, because she said she's awkward. She was trying to figure out how to hold the roses and the trophy at the same time. She's like, how am I supposed to do this? Like, I don't know, it's awkward.
Nobody trained me for this. I didn't practice.
I win championship belts that go around my waist. I don't win trophies. Like, it's hard.
Yeah. Hunter, I can't wear this.
Can I get a belt?
Can I just get a title? This would fit so much better on a title. I can't, how am I supposed to get this home in the suitcase? I'm sure they ship.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, after this, we had your six-woman tag match, Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Natalya taking on the Riot Squad. This was very much a cool-down from the previous match, obviously. The best part of this match was Finn Balor in the crowd cheering on Bayley. It was adorable. It was absolutely adorable. He's so cute.
What we learned, Sasha should never dive. And two, the Riot Squad are a really great team.
Yeah, they are. They're a super strong team.
This was better than your normal six-person tag. They went above and beyond in this matchup. They told a great story. They had the crowd into it the entire time. And that's all you can want. Bayley, Sasha, and Nana got the win. But it was really enjoyable, really fun. And it kept the momentum going. It didn't, like... Was it a cool down? Kind of, but it kept the momentum going, and that's what you wanted in this entire show. As the momentum just kept building and building, there was no, we're going to just completely die off and drop. It was like a takeover show. The momentum continues rolling on. Not every match is the greatest, but the momentum is hot, and it keeps going and going, and that's what this show was all about. And this matchup helped.
It did. I agree with that. This was just a nice moment for the six women in this match. This was really good. Because up next, after this, you had Shayna Baszler taking on Kairi Sane for the NXT Women's Championship. This was also incredibly good. Very hard fought. I mean, we've seen this before. I won't complain in seeing this again. This was just great. This was tremendous. The two just went at each other like you do because it was for the title. But Shayna didn't come to play this time. Shayna came to get her title.
She came to get her title. And I've been saying this in January. She's a star.
Oh, yeah.
She has it. She has an it factor.
She has it. She's right there behind Ronda in terms of star power. But I feel like if they could build her into something, they've got a star on their hands. She's a excellent heel. She's exactly what you want in a heel. Perfect textbook.
And what an excellent heel like her needs is backup. And they introduced her backup on the show.
She got her girls with her this time.
Yeah, her four horsewomen girls and helped with her. They got involved. They helped her get the championship back. Kairi Sane passed out. But their involvement, when she got tossed into the crowd, it's like, okay, I told you they were going to get involved. I told you this was going to be the finish, that they were going to get involved and help her win. And that's exactly what happened. It was enjoyable. And now you have an alliance in NXT where it's like, these girls are going to be really good. All reports, the two other women, Marina and Jessamyn Duke, are really picking it up really quick. And one of them, I think it's Marina, has the potential to be the best of them all. And that's saying something.
I'm not surprised that they're picking it up quick, given their previous profession. They should pick it up quick. If they're having problems picking it up, then it's like, okay, all right, this could be awkward. Because, like, you were a UFC fighter and a mixed martial artist, you should be able to pick up a wrestling, not in a snap, but easier than someone who's never done it before. So, because they already have the previous fight training, so it's like they understand the basic concepts of it. It's just learning how to fall and do the more complicated nuances in pro wrestling. So, yeah. This is an interesting experiment that's going on right now.
Marina is...
And so far, it's succeeding.
Marina is... Roderick Strong's wife.
Yes.
But yeah, this was a really fun match. Really good. I enjoyed it. It was, compared to the rest of the show, it was a nice change of pace. It was very scientific. It was work a body part, work a body part, work a body part. And it was different, and I enjoyed it. Shayna Baszler is your new NXT Women's Champion. Now, is she going to be able to compete at TakeOver? Well, we'll see how injured she is coming out of it. All we know that she was, on crutches following the show, which is why she was in the injury roundup a little while ago.
Yeah, she's probably definitely banged up for sure.
But now, we get to the SmackDown.
Oh, now.
SmackDown Women's Championship, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair.
We got 30 minutes of this, and we needed all 30 minutes of this. These two went out there, tore it down, tried to kill each other twice. There were chairs, there were ladders, there were tables,
there were bare fists. Let's go back to the chairs. It was,
oh god, the chairs. Chair stacking contest.
I'm going to throw a chair in. You're going to throw a chair in. One, back and forth. Becky Lynch was so sad when she ran out of chairs. She just went and kept throwing chairs.
She did. They were just redecorating the ring.
Yeah. One tough spot was the moonsault into the table that did not break.
That, you know that hurt.
Oh yeah.
You know that hurt.
Mm. You had everything this matchup you mentioned. They did the figure eight with the ladder, which should never be done again. They battled through the crowd. We had Becky Lynch put Charlotte through the announce table with a leg drop off the ladder. Then she buried Charlotte in chairs and table pieces for a long nine count, where she did the Braun Strowman roar spot and got out of it. And then she fired up like hell, just started beating on Becky with the Singapore cane. And... yeah, this was great. The finish was the powerbomb through the table, and Becky Lynch was still your women's champion. She was the last woman standing. There's not much you could add to this matchup other than say, go watch it.
This was everything you could have wanted from this rivalry, everything that you wanted from this feud, and so much more. I mean, they did a wonderful job of building this up, of really putting a lot of fire into this match. And it shows. Becky and Charlotte went out there and just put their hearts out and souls in that ring to give us this. And they were given the time to give us this. I mean, it was just absolutely wonderful to watch.
Now, there was some dispute, because, you know, everyone has an opinion, whether this should have been the main event or not. On one hand, it should have been the main event, because it was the hottest feud going in. But when it comes to star power... and what got the most attention media-wise, you put what got the most attention in the main event. Either one would be fine in either position, but that's sort of the reason why Ronda and Nikki for the Raw Women's Championship was in the main event, and not the SmackDown Women's title. That's the only difference.
They didn't help themselves, and honestly, when you're booking this show out, you're booking it out naturally where you did NXT, SmackDown and Raw, basically the order of your three brands for the main title on the show. So I get why they did it at the end like that. But the problem was Shayna and Kari was really good. Then Charlotte and Becky showed up and delivered and outperformed Shayna and Kari. And then you had Ronda and Nikki. And Ronda and Nikki had the very unfortunate position of having to follow Charlotte and Becky. And I feel like in a lot of ways, WWE did them absolutely no favors, because I don't honestly think, and this is no offense to Ronda and this is no offense to Nikki, but what Becky and Charlotte did, there was no way anyone that followed that match was going to live up to it. You could have probably put Tony and Io and it would have come close, but again, it just would not have lived up to what Becky and Charlotte was. That's how how good this match was. So Ron and Nikki had to come out and they had to follow that. And they tried to follow that. And there were some really good moments in the match, but ultimately this was not nearly as good. And I think that's where everybody has the problem, is it's like, oh, well, you know, Becky and Charlotte should have closed because it was a really fantastic match.
No one knew.
But your biggest name should be closing your show when your biggest name is Ronda Rousey. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It is.
It is. And no one knew what you were going to get out of Charlotte and Becky. No one knew that. You had ideas, but you never knew that.
I don't think anybody realized they were planning that. And I mean, you knew it was going to be good because anytime you have two friends who get together and they do a match like this, you know it's going to be something really, really special because you have two people who know each other extremely well. And so it takes away that awkwardness of fighting each other for the first time. And I think that's where Ronda and Nikki was at the disadvantage, because I know Ronda and Nikki were working on the match all week. So was it the first time they touched? But they simply did not have that familiarity of working together for years, of going through training together, of having really that intimate friendship with each other to be able to probably not even have to really talk about it a lot. I would imagine that Becky and Charlotte kind of just went out there and did it. And there wasn't a whole lot of planning involved. I'm sure there, like, some of the spots were.
There's a lot of planning involved, but it was very natural. And you just, the crowd was really hot into it. And Ronda and Nikki, they had a good, solid match. It was a solid main event. It was a perfect closer in terms of the babyface went over, the fans went home happy. She's their biggest star. And that's just the position they're in. And you can't judge a match because, okay, the quality of opponents. Like, star power always rules over. There's the whole WrestleMania 3 thing. It was Hogan, Andre in the main event. They were the star power, but the better match was Randy and Ricky Steamboat. And here, the better match was Becky and Charlotte. No one's disagreeing with that.
No.
But,
and I mean,
they're the star power, and they had to close it. That's it.
Ronda and Nikki just didn't have the power that Charlotte and Becky had coming into the show. And I think part of the problem with that is just the way that they booked it out. And they did a really nice setup with Nikki and Ronda, but ultimately, I feel like they needed to do more with Nikki's characterization. You needed to have her be less, almost flippant. You needed to have her take this a little bit more seriously because, I mean, honestly, this is no offense to Nikki Bella at all. She's a badass. She can do whatever she wants. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the person that she's become, but it's Ronda Rousey. Any other woman on that roster versus Nikki Bella, yeah, okay, all right, I can buy that. Nikki Bella versus Ronda Rousey. No, dude, no. She gonna rip you apart in 2 seconds if this is an MMA fight.
That said,
not even it's a gif on Twitter.
That said, the execution of the match was fine. There was no really bad spots. They executed the matchup perfectly.
There was a little awkwardness, but yeah, I mean the moves were fine. Nikki and Charlotte, or I should say Nikki and Ronda, had a few just moments where it's kind of like, that didn't look so hot. But part of the way was like the way that they shot it, because it's like, I think it was the double spot, like Ronda doing the double carry spot. With Bri and Nikki on her shoulders.
Yeah.
That was a really cool spot. The only problem was that the way that they shot that angle is they showed Bri essentially climbing onto Ronda's shoulders. And then when they went back and showed the replay, they showed the shot of basically looking like Ronda dragging Bri onto her shoulders and then hitting the move. Because again, the way that they showed Ronda hitting the move the first time didn't do anybody any favors. It didn't look right. It looked really sloppy. But when you watched it from the different angle, it looked a lot better. So there was some camera work issues, there were some direction issues with this match that it was just like, you should have shown that from a slightly different angle and it would have looked so much better. But that's neither here nor there. That has nothing to do with Nikki and Ronda, but I just feel like you could have done a little bit more with Nikki and Ronda to add some just fire to it, because again, it's like Ronda, anybody that faces her has to deal with her reputation until it gets to a point where her reputation doesn't matter. But she's starting this undefeated role in WWE. She's starting this, right? Where she's going as a champion, where she's becoming she's an undefeated champion right now. And everyone that she goes up against, she faces off she rips him apart. Nikki Bell's no exception to that. And so there was a it was just really hard, I think, to suspend your belief that it's like Nikki could take Rhonda in a fight.
Which means one thing.
You're kind of sitting there.
Go ahead.
Which you're just sitting there like, no.
Which means one thing. Becky, you got to step up your game.
I feel like, though, Becky has stands a better chance, or, like, Becky's a little bit more believable, because we just seen what she's can do. Like, we can see her get rough and ready, we can see her get into a fight, and we can see her go. The issue with Nikki is Nikki hasn't wrestled
consistently in 2 years.
Consistently in 2 years because of her neck, and really the only application or the only exposure that we have to Nikki outside of wrestling is on the reality shows. So we see her running around town in her Range Rover with her couture handbags and clothes and shoes, and she's getting her nails done, she's getting her hair done, and she's getting married and she's not getting married and all this other stuff. Like, we're seeing, that's what we're seeing Nikki Bella as, and we're not seeing her, I don't think people see her anymore as a wrestler, because she doesn't wrestle anymore, really. She's more of a reality star now. So it just made it really difficult to believe that this version of Nikki Bella could take Ronda Rousey. Now, Nikki Bella from 2-3 years ago, that's a slightly different story. When she was wrestling more consistently, yeah, absolutely. That's easier to believe than now. And I think that's where this match just had, for me at least, a little bit of difficulty, was the story was just off. You needed to show Nikki training. You needed to show Nikki really putting an effort and taking this match seriously, because they weren't.
You need to bring up her, show off her in the ring. She needed to get on a roll herself beforehand.
Yeah, and with her neck, I don't think they could do that. But it's like, you know, they showed up and it almost felt a little bit like they were slightly out of touch, because they showed up with their Bella Army flag and their gear and everything else. And you're like, yeah, you look cute. I mean, I don't want to bash it. You look cute. You're here. Great. But it's like you're holding on to what you were before you got engaged and before you had the baby and before you got married. And it's not now, you know? It just felt slightly just a little out of touch.
That said, good match. Solid stuff.
They tried.
Overall, excellent show. Ronda, you're still your champion. Becky's still your champion. Shayna Baszler's now your champion. We both went 5-2 on this show. And as enjoyable for an enjoyable 3.5 hours, this was a great show. I want to see more of it. Do this again. Keep it the production like it is. Keep it simple. You don't have to go over the top, because, again, make things unique. And if it was the staple WWE product with a big set, it wouldn't have come off as special. This was very special.
This was what it needed to be, because I can't tell you that in the 20-ish years, however long I've been watching wrestling, how long I have waited for this moment in WWE. I know what has happened elsewhere, and it was so cool when it happened elsewhere, but having been through the Diva era and watching all that go down and how the women were treated and how it was handled and the fact that you had shows, women couldn't even get on them. Or if they were there as girlfriends or valets or really there to be objectified or whatever. You know, they weren't taken seriously. They were jokes. They were the piss break match. Nobody cared. And you had these girls out there wrestling their heart and souls out, you know, for a crowd that just didn't care. And you're watching that. You know, they go out there and they get a 2-minute match if they were lucky, you know, to have, you know, bra and panty matches, gravy matches, the whole bikini calendar, you know, all this stuff, watching all of that and kind of the double standard that the women were held to against the men, and going from that to Sunday, where the women were out there, they were taken seriously, the crowd was incredibly hot for this show, everybody was there, wanted to be there, they were into it, they enjoyed it. And yeah, this was a really special thing that happened. And I think everybody agrees on that. This is very special to the women in WWE, but I feel like this was special to women outside of WWE. 'Cause like for women like me, I've waited this for a really, really long time. And 5 years ago, this wouldn't have even been an option. This was just, oh yeah, you know, maybe one day they'll do an all-women's pay-per-view and then people would laugh at you. But here it is. And it's a very clear message that the women are here to stay. And your top stars are, in fact, women. The next top star in WWE, the next household name in WWE, very much could be a woman. Right now is a woman because it's Ronda Rousey. And like her or hate her for whatever she's done, she has brought that to WWE. She's brought that star power to that division and has helped to bring a lot of this forward. I don't think she's a perfect person. I think she's far from it. But just having her there has done a lot to help move this, the women's revolution, evolution, whatever you want to call it, forward. Because it kind of stalled out. They'd really gone about as far as they could go. And then Ronda showed up. And with Ronda there, that opens more doors, like an all-women's pay-per-view, like main eventing WrestleMania, of doing other things. So I think Sunday was a huge leap forward for them. And I'd like to say thank you for WWE for finally, finally doing this. And I have little doubt it was all Hunter and Steph, but Hunter who helped to make this happen. And if that's the case, I think WWE is in really safe hands.
So with that, so we take a break?
I say we take our first break of the evening. Yeah.
First and only.
So when we come back, we are going to be talking about it, y'all. That's right. Crown Jewel. We're going to get into it. So you don't want to miss it. I don't think. So anyway, you're listening to Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll be right back.
Something strange in the neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
But there's something weird and it don't look good. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
Get chatty with CB Radio. Tweet us at twitter.com/CB Radio Live. And while you're at it, tweet me, twitter.com/LoneJobber.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Ladies and gentlemen, EC3.
This is EC3.
I am in the top 1%.
You are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Me.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at GearWorks.net, at RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com as well. This is where we would normally do Twitch of the week, but unfortunately I've had a very busy week at work this week, so I don't have any tweets. I'm sorry. I have had like no time to spend on Twitter. So we instead are going to talk about Crown Jewel.
No. We're going to talk about how amazing Rockstar Spud and EC3 were.
I'd rather talk about that, honestly, than what we're getting ready to talk about. I mean, I'd rather talk about anything pretty much except what we're getting ready to talk about.
Rockstar Spud and EC3 together, Batman and Robin, they're awesome. That whole Battle Royal, there's a video on WWE's YouTube channel. That is just awesome. You need to go watch it. It's fantastic.
Same. Yeah, it's seeing them back together makes just all the feels so happy right now, because it's so worth it.
So, there's that.
But anyway, so, good night, everybody! No.
Crown Jewel.
Crown Jewel, the forthcoming WWE pay-per-view tomorrow, live on WWE Network, and if you'd like to get up and watch it at 4 a.m. or whenever it airs, please.
It's noon Eastern. It's noon Eastern. It's not 4 a.m. It's noon Eastern.
I don't know when they do these anymore. So
I know. It's noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. There's a lot of talk about this show. A lot of negative talk about this show.
Yeah, I was gonna say let's specify. It's not good talk. Now, 6 weeks ago, WWE. Was on high, right? Everything was great. Everything was wonderful. Their garden was rosy. And then Saudi Arabia went and did a thing and just kind of screwed up everything for everybody. And WWE is kind of now caught in the middle of a firestorm of that whole scandal. And people have called for this show to be canceled. It was not canceled. Again, they do have a contractual obligation that they do have to fulfill, whether they want to or not. And obviously they wanted to, because they wanted the money. But also, I would imagine the penalties for canceling the show were really rather steep.
Especially on their bottom line. Now,
especially on their bottom line.
There are talent. Line.
So
there are talent on this show that are no longer on this show. Daniel Bryan and John Cena are not a part of this program by their choice. They decided it was better for them not to be a part of it. With that, AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan on SmackDown Live had a hell of a match for the WWE Championship. Pay-per-view worthy. It was awesome. AJ Styles retained. Samoa Joe then attacked, setting up the WWE title match for Crown Jewel.
There you go. That's how you do that.
That's how you get out of that situation. John Cena, because of all his movie commitments, being in Hollywood, it was in his best interest not to be on this show.
And Daniel Bryan for obviously what's going on with that whole scandal right now. This show.
Staying on Daniel Bryan for a second, there's a lot to the Daniel Bryan thing, and it has not much to do with the reporter. It had more to do with things he experienced the first time, which is why he made it known he was not going to be part of it. Apparently, he even made he was trying to get WWE officials to put The Miz over last month when they fought on pay-per-view. So it was like he was trying to get them to not put him in the match. They still did. They came up with a solution to get him out of it. So he's been against going for a while. It was not a last-minute thing because of the reporter. It was he did not like the situation before. Hand got when they went over last time, so that's all that. So that's clear and out there for everyone to know.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it is what it is. So this poor show is just cursed, apparently.
There's a black cloud hanging over my favorite wrestler of all time returning to the ring for the first time in 8.5 years. Can we not have a black cloud over Shawn Michaels returning to the ring?
I feel like this is a sign. I feel like it's really a sign.
I mean, like, I am super excited. Like, there's not much on this show that is exciting me. But Shawn Michaels returning to the ring, I don't care how old he is. He's Shawn effing Michaels. He's the heartbreak kid. He's the icon. He's the showstopper. He's the main event. He's on this show. He's performing for the people. And I can't wait.
It's gonna be wonderful. But yeah, this poor black cloud over it. Everybody's protesting it. Everybody, or I shouldn't say everybody's protesting, but everybody's speaking out against it. Everybody's speaking out against WWE. And you can feel how you want to feel about it. No judgment. No judgment if you're not going to watch or if you are going to watch. It's you do you. You do whatever you feel is morally right. I think Randy Orton's comments about this, normally I wouldn't quote Randy Orton because I think he's kind of a twit, but Randy Orton's comments are kind of accurate. I feel like for a lot of people in the company right now who are over there, which is, I've got 5 kids. I need the money. I got kids.
And a lot of them do. Or a lot of them want to start a lot of them want to start a family. Xavier Woods just had a kid last year. He needs to feed his
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, so
he
I mean,
so, like, they, like, they all have to do it. They all have to go over there and make some money.
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of them are over there just purely to make the money, because probably the payday from this is going to be really, really good. So before you like go off on people, try to understand circumstances. I'm sure there are folks who are in the same position as John Cena and Dan O'Brien. They didn't want to go, but they had to go because they didn't really have a choice. Like, so, and I'm not saying WWE made them, like, you know, you don't go, you're fired kind of thing, but you know, it's, look, we need the money, or we got kids in school, or, you know, I want to take my family on a nice vacation somewhere and I want to get the bonus check, whatever the reason for going. I think a lot of people are in those shoes, both on talent and production side, because I don't think the production crew wanted to go either.
No, it's a nightmare. And then they're gonna be, the talent's gonna be over in Europe for 2 weeks, so it's gonna be a long week, a long couple weeks. Here's the deal. If you're watching the show, great. But if you aren't, please don't judge the people who are.
Yeah.
Let me enjoy the show. Let Lindsay enjoy the show. Let everyone who's watching the show enjoy it. Don't get up on your high horse about it. We're not getting up on ours. Just enjoy it for what it is. It's going to be a 4.5-hour wrestling event that, at the end of the day, is just a normal show. But things are going to happen on it that you're going to want to know and talk about and see, because there's going to be a new WWE Universal Champion, and you're going to find out because you clicked the link to find out about it. And by clicking that link, you've now supported the show because you're supporting the people who are covering the show, who support, you know, it all, it's a circle of life.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on.
Let's get into the show.
Into the show, because, you know, as if there wasn't enough of a black cloud, we have added the return of Hulk Hogan. Why are you doing it on this show of all shows? And I get it. I get why. They love their old school wrestlers over there. You bring Hulk Hogan over there. He was the biggest star of them all. Perfect place to bring him back to the WWE.
No. He's the best place for him to go because they know he won't get booed.
You don't know that.
Okay, he won't get booed for...
You don't know that.
No, okay. Well, I'll change it to this. He won't get booed for the reasons you think he would get booed for. Got it?
Yeah, Yeah, there we go.
He will be the official host of the show.
Go ahead.
They tried to hide him. They had at one point, we're going to run a commercial Monday announcing his thing. They did not do it. So they tried to sneak him onto the WWE.com website of with talent appearing, and they threw him on the bottom of it. And then people took notice, and they quickly moved him off the thing, and then it was reported he would be the host. Go ahead.
I have lots of thoughts on this, and none of them are positive, and so I'm going to generally keep them to myself. But is this really necessary to bring him back? Like, really, 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 truly necessary to bring him back, number one. And number two, I hope it's not done with, like, a crap ton of fanfare. I know it will be. Like, it's Hulk Hogan's epic return to the WWE, because we all know why he's returning to the WWE. Because, well, he got in trouble for comments made that were of a racial nature. And they were like, oh, we're never going to associate him with him again. And, of course, you know, like, 4 or 5 years later, he's back. But yeah, I just really kind of hope they're like, hey, here's Hulk Hogan, and they push him out in front, out of the curtain. He goes out, he does his brother thing, and he poses. Hopefully his arms don't explode, and he goes away, and that's it. And that's all we see of him, like 5 minutes, and that's it.
Yeah, that's probably gonna be, about 10, because a couple minutes get down to the ring, couple minutes. Anyway, that being said, let's get into the pre-show. Yes, they added a pre-show match. Why? I do not.
Because the show is not long enough.
I don't know, understand why we needed a pre-show match, but hey, we're getting a pre-show match. And it's WWE United States Championship, Shinsuke Nakamura defending against Rusev. Who you got?
Shinsuke.
Yeah, Shinsuke is going to retain this championship, but there's no way Rusev is winning this championship. The 8-Ball, though, says Rusev there. Now, we get the 8-Ball is always wrong. We now have the WWE World Cup. We're not going to pick winners of the matches, because it's a tournament, so we can't really pick every match. So what we're going to do is just pick a winner of the World Cup. Your matches in the first round are Rollins vs. Lashley, Angle vs. Ziggler, Mysterio vs. Orton, and Miz vs. Jeff Hardy. The caveat is, if a SmackDown person in the finals loses, they are gone from SmackDown Live. So that could be either one thing, SmackDown's winning, or a top star is headed to Monday Night Raw. Who is winning the World Cup, Lindsay?
Mysterio. It's gonna be Mysterio.
It's not my man, Bobby Lashley. It's not gonna be Lashley. Lashley. No?
No. Ray's coming back. He's coming back on a semi-full-time basis. Because it's like, you look at it. Okay, Rollins. Ambrose is probably gonna cost Rollins the match, which continues that feud. There will be shenanigans with Angle and Ziggler in terms of Baron Corbin. Not sure who wins that. I would imagine Ray beats Orton.
Yeah, Lashley will beat Rollins probably. Angle beat Ziggler, so it was Lashley and Angle. Ooh, Lashley and Angle. Should be good. Mysterio should beat Orton. You never know. That's actually a really toss up. If Mysterio's gonna go over, yeah.
That's a coin flip, but I'm going with Ray because he's just coming back.
And then Miz Jeff Hardy. You probably put Miz over Jeff.
I don't know. I'd almost have Hardy go over, but
I don't know. I'm going Miz wins the whole thing.
I say Mysterio.
There you go.
A-Ball
did not pick one. SmackDown tag team titles. The Bar versus New Day.
New Day.
The Bar. Big Show's involvement keeps them with the championships.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. I forgot about Big Show. Sorry, y'all. It's been a minute.
And it's very hard.
It's
very hard to forget Big Show.
No, it's not hard. It's not hard to forget Big Show. It's just I forgot he was
a thing
involved in that storyline. So yeah, okay. Changing my pick to The Bar.
Then it will be for the WWE Championship. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. AJ Styles.
God damn it! I want Joe to win one time just because I want someone on my team, someone else on my team, other than Shayna. Goddamn, do something.
But they just threw Joe into this matchup. He's not winning on 3 days' notice.
Doesn't matter. He could.
He could. I doubt it.
The game is out. The game has been out for a month. AJ, he doesn't need to keep the title anymore. AJ could lose it.
So you're going Samoa Joe?
I mean, I'm going Samoa Joe. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't have been surprised if they weren't going to put the title on Bryan originally and then had to change it. because he wasn't going to go to Saudi Arabia.
Samoa Joe's going to get the championship. Probably at Survivor Series. Probably. That's going to be the thing.
He's never going to get it.
Never going to get it.
He's never going to get it. No, actually, he will get it. He will get it at Survivor Series because that's when fantasy ends.
Mm-hmm. Never going to get it. Never. Anyway. 8-Ball went with AJ Styles and also went with The Bar. I'm going AJ Styles to retain. Anyway, that's me.
Up next for the vacant Universal Championship, Braun Strowman is taking on Brock Lesnar. I'm just going to say this right now. If Brock Lesnar wins this match, you are going to hear my phone go through a windshield or go through a window and down three stories and crack and break, and then you're going to hear me scream. Please, WWE, if you are in the sound of my voice, which you may or may not be, do not put that title back on Brock Lesnar. We just got it back. Okay? Just got it at SummerSlam back from Brock. Can we not do this again? I don't want to go through another year of that title never being there because the show stacked with Brock being gone that it got really hard to watch there at the end. And you put it on Roman and things started to move again because, hey, look, you have another singles title you can fight for on that show. Please, please don't do that to us. Please don't put it back on Brock. For the love of God, put it on Braun Strowman. Just do the thing with Braun, please. Pretty please with sugar on top. Don't subject us to this. We don't deserve it. We may be jerks, but we don't deserve it. Am I wrong?
You feel better?
Yes, I do. I feel like that needs to be said. Because I don't feel like anybody really wants it back on Brock.
I will laugh when Brock Lesnar wins this championship.
I will scream and throw my phone.
I'm picking Braun Strowman. Finally, Braun. To earn his keep on my fantasy team. I need the points. Need the championship win. It was supposed to come when he cashed in his briefcase. This is Braun Strowman.
You need right now with the app. Yeah. You need someone who's going to be there. You need to build that person to take Roman's place for the time being until Roman comes back. Because we're all going to keep that happy thought that Roman's going to come back and he's going to be fine. So you need to build that next name, that next star. Braun Strowman's the only person really on that show right now, aside from Seth and Dean, who could take that spot. And Seth and Dean are busy with each other.
Braun Strowman needs
the belt. Take that however you want to take that. And Braun needs it.
Braun needs the belt. He'll get his belt. He will actually reestablish the championship for however long he has it. Because you never know how long that title will stay on him. But for now, he's going to get it and move on. The Magic 8-Ball just went with Brock Lesnar.
Ding. And last but certainly not least, the match. The match that got everybody excited for this show and the match that I think a lot of people are going to watch this show for is the returning Shawn Michaels and Triple H DX reuniting to take on Kane and The Undertaker, the Brothers of Destruction, a.k.a. the dad match.
It's three dads and a Kane.
Well, Kane's a dad. What? He has kids.
Yeah, he has kids.
Kind of.
Anyway. This is going to be... Okay, this won't be a five-star matchup. Let's just get it out of the way. But there's something that Shawn Michaels has, and it's something you cannot lose. You just watch it when he was at ringside. He has it. He knows how to tell a story in the ring. Every time he winces in pain, you wince in pain. Every time he hits a big move, you jump out with joy, and then you get excited. Because it's Shawn Michaels. Will be as weird as hell seeing Shawn Michaels wrestle with a bald head? Hell yes. Will be weird as hell to see him back in the ring after 8.5 years when you didn't think this was going to actually happen because all the dream matches that have come and gone, he's passed them off, and this is what's coming out of it? Yeah. But just pro wrestling, in a nutshell, sports entertainment, is something to enjoy. Something to sit back, relax, and enjoy. When Shawn Michaels and Triple H and Kane and them to get in the ring, you're not looking for a five-star classic, because guess what? They're not going to give you it. But they're going to take you on that roller coaster ride of ups and downs and ups and downs. And it's going to be great. When it comes to a winner, logic goes, DX should win because it's Shawn's match back. But if you're going to...
No.
But if you're going to keep the story moving, which they may not, Because if they're building to the Rumble, because I don't see Taker and Shawn wrestling in Survivor Series now, but if they go into the Rumble, and it's them two at the Rumble, Taker needs his win back, because he just lost four weeks ago. He lost at Super Showdown. He needs his win. Taker needs a win. Taker should win, right?
I would agree with that, yeah. I mean, I feel like Taker needs a win. I don't think Shawn's going to be doing a lot of wrestling in this. I think he's going to be in it. But I feel like Connor's going to be the one carrying this match. But Taker and Shawn are going to get in there, because we all need Taker and Shawn to get in there and do their thing at least once. And we all just bask in the glory of it one more time. Will it be what it was at WrestleMania 25? Absolutely not. But it's Taker and Shawn, and God damn it, I'm going to take it as many times as I can get it before they're both done, which I think Taker's in the process of winding down. I think Shawn came back to help Taker wind down, but that's a whole other separate conversation. I don't think this will be a barn burner. I don't think this is going to be a five-star classic. I think this is going to be entertaining. I think we're going to get everything, all the feel-good spots that we could ever want. In terms of DX, in terms of the Brothers of Destruction, every move that you want to see that they can still do, we will probably get. And there's going to be at least one move where we're going to go, oh God, please don't. That would be Taker doing his dive. For the love of God, do not let the 52-year-old man do the dive. Okay? Somebody cut him off. We don't need him doing that. But, yeah. We will see things in this match that we will be talking about for a while to come. And whatever this is the setup for something in the future, whether it's Rumble, whether it's Mania, Survivor Series, Mixed Match Challenge, you know, who knows?
Either way, I'm going to
But it's going to be pretty epic.
It's going to be epic. It's going to be enjoyable. I don't want to go against my boys, but screw it. I'm going Team DX. The movement continues, even though I know it's wrong. You're going?
I'm going with my dads. Taker and Kane.
8-Ball agrees with you on that one. So there you go. That's Crown Jewel. We'll be back next week to review it all.
That's right. So, again, if you do not want to watch the show, feel free to not watch. That's certainly your choice. No judgment. If you do want to watch this show, no judgment. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you like it. I hope it's everything you want it to be and more. Everybody, please be nice about this, okay? I know there is a lot of extenuating circumstances surrounding this. I know there is a huge political scandal surrounding this, but please, don't be dicks to people who want to watch this show. Just let them watch it. Just let them enjoy it. Don't be rude, okay? Just don't. I get it. You don't want to watch it, and that's fine, and like I said, no judgment, okay? Absolutely no judgment. I don't think I'm any better for watching it. I don't think you're any better for not watching it. But just, yeah, please respect people's decisions concerning this show, whether they want to watch it, whether they want to talk about it, anything like that. Just let them do the thing. That's all we ask. Just let them do the thing.
It's pro wrestling.
It's not that serious. Is there a huge political atmosphere surrounding it? Absolutely, but just keep the politics out of it, okay?
Turn your brain off for 4.5 hours. That's it.
So, alrighty, I think that does it for us. Everybody stay tuned, because I believe we do have the return of Fortnite with Friends.
We do. Fortnite with Friends
back.
Will be coming up in about 10 minutes or so. But Saturday night, midnight, I should see CB Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Go to greatandgreatdebate.com, CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night, we'll review on Wrestle Talk Radio. They'll review Crown Jewel at 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, we should be back with the Raw Post Show 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for another edition of Rack. Make sure you follow and subscribe to the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Follow Wild Talk Radio at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Remember, The Rack is on all the social medias. That's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio under The Rack Radio Show.
You can follow me on pretty much all the social medias at Linsward, L-A-N-S-W-R-D. Go to my website, Psychwar Designs, and if you want to check out any artwork that I've done, You can go to behance.net/linsward, same as the Twitter and Instagram. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack. And, well, don't forget to check out the very fine sponsors, because I don't know how to close the show any better than I know how to open it. mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211, yourwork.net, and fivebooth.com. So, like we said, Fortnite with Friends coming up very shortly. Till then, this has been The Rack on wildtalkradio.com. Bye!
Out from his coffin, Drax a voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the MASH.
It's now the Monster MASH.
The Monster MASH.
Wild Talk Radio Network.